CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by LexisNexis Litigation Solutions. Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjog All. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Now, here's Sunjog All.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. And while you are at your computer, like us on Facebook. Search for CIO Talk Radio and make sure to join our conversation on Twitter, hashtag CTRLive and at CIO Talk Radio. And also look for this show using hashtag leadership. Today's topic is 2013 CIO Agenda, and our guests for today's show are Peter Schuhaus, who's the Chief Information Officer with ExxonMobil. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning. Excellent. Thank you, Sanjog.
Very good. So just about ready to get to start the countdown for the new year?
Yes, I sure am. Actually, I think the countdown already started when we started budgeting a couple of months ago, so it feels like we're ready.
Great. And we also have Vittoria Curtella, who is the Vice President and CTO with Mars. Good morning, Vittoria. How are you?
Good morning, Sanjo. I'm excellent. Thank you.
And with you, are you ready for 2013 action, or are you just finishing up or tying up the loose ends in 2012? Well, how is it going?
I'd say both. We have had a very, very good year, and we look forward to having another one like that in 2013. So we're busy now wrapping up things and shifting into gear for 2013.
Great. So, Peter, let's start with you. What do you think you are thinking of or planning on doing as we transition into the new year? Do you think you would be looking at making IT more predictable, or would you like to make things by design a little more fluid to almost make it a sandbox where innovation and value creation thrives? What is the basic mindset that you think you are having, plus what you see your peers and counterparts are having in other companies or even within your company?
Yeah, Sanjog, thanks. Unfortunately, there are not that many ors in our lives. Typically, it's and. And it's more of where do you put the emphasis. We certainly have a huge consolidation agenda within my company to support process harmonization, shared services, all those type of things. So we need to continue that, no doubt about it. But we will accelerate moving more to commoditized solutions, leveraging cloud type of solutions and such. And as such, you know, if anything, we'll focus more on things like basics to prepare us for that. So things like enterprise architecture, master data management, BI, really focus on innovation, I think going to be main themes for us in 2013.
Now, based on what Peter just said, Vittorio, how would you look at the basic mindset, that is to go to a cloud, do something which is mass customized versus customized to your need, and that could be because you want to remove certain items from your plate and that's why you're doing it, or is it just that other people have thought through much better and you do not need something which is specially created for you? Why does this mindset, which we see percolating across the industry or across industries, that let's take whatever is available off the shelf versus trying to build our own?
Well, I guess that the biggest opportunity we have with the cloud is not just going after efficiency, so kind of commoditize some of the thing we do, but more finding the speed of execution that is kind of essential to grab some business opportunities out there. So I must, first of all, I must echo what Peter said. For us, it's not never an or, but it's always an and. And what we have done over the past 10 years, the focus has been mostly on getting all the key processes embedded in our backbone transactional systems. But at the same time, we see increasing demand for more agile solution that can be delivered faster, especially in the marketing and sales area. And that's where the cloud and the new technology like BI, collaboration, the idea of mobility can provide real value and enable, you know, the business to act fast. especially in areas where standardization is not necessarily the answer, but more being more dynamic and agile is. So, and this is a recurring theme among many of my peers. Yeah, we have achieved the benefits of standardization and now are embracing more the opportunity to build on top of it.
Going back to December last year, so Peter, if you were to jog your memory, do you think you had exactly the same mindset, or it was incrementally more conservative or incrementally more innovative and or more progressive?
Well, I think there is there's less patience with the employees or users of our systems and infrastructures for the fact that things take a long time. And I think Vittorio was referring to it in a way as well. You know, when you and I want some functionality at home, we flip our smartphone and we download an app and use it. There's no discussion about change management, integration, about learning. And the whole process takes a couple of minutes. And if it takes longer, you know, you're frustrated. And, you know, it takes too long, you switch to the next in the list. You know, which is a huge contrast with what we do in the office. And people intuitively understand that in the office there's other demands around security and those type of things. But the gap is enormous. And, you know, regaining some of the agility is going to be very, very important going forward. And there's a lot of basic stuff that I just alluded to earlier that we need to fix and need to put in place. But we can obviously not ask everybody just to wait for a couple of years while we get our house in order. So we do need to balance these demands. And for me, compared to a year ago, that difference or that gap has been more pronounced. It's more obvious, you know, we're getting past the initial discussions around consumerization and bring your own device, etc. And as we get past them, people really want to move on and move quickly and not have a 2 or 3 year multi-million dollar proposal for a project, but like to get things done in a couple of weeks, in a month, in 2 months.
Vittorio, now look at the comments that Peter made about people having less patience and also the fact that the other folks do not have the patience to kind of wait for 2 to 3 years. And I think that has already been the case for quite a few years. The question I'd have for you is, in the past, we used to say patience is virtue. Has this become a sin now? And if it is, then are we risking to some degree what we earned because of us having patience, so we thought through things versus we going willy-nilly into different directions, trying a number of things, fail fast, fail quick, fail cheap. So where are we going with this new mindset? What is that going to buy us?
Well, I guess it's not, the answer would be, it's not one size fits all. And in certain area, we need to leverage the value we created by being very intentional at creating structural approach to services. So the reliability that we provide and the reliance of our business in core transactions, the fact that infrastructure, collaboration, communication is like I'm running water these days, is not an area where you go and take risk. You take risk where you want to fail fast and fail cheap, I'd say. And these are the areas where we have to create the space for experimentation and innovation. And these are the areas where most of the time the business opportunity is not defined by a prescribed solution. So if I look at area like HR processes and finance in a global corporation like ours, we need to standardize those processes and make sure that we take the whole corporation to the level of best practice that we expect. And that is not an area where you can fool around or take unnecessary risk. On the other hand, when you get into an emerging market and you need to act fast and in a space of few months launch a new product and be able to correct dynamically during those weeks of the launch based on the data, on the analytics and the access to those analytics and the fact that you share it across teams, that's the area where there is more room for experimentation. So I say the patience remains and the reliability, the confidence on services that are effective and efficient is something we need to capitalize on to then invest in the new area where we mutually agree with our business partners. We want to take more risk. We want to experiment. We want to go fast and dynamic.
So, Peter, do you think new is new necessarily better? Are we trying to get to the new innovative approaches to doing things faster, cheaper, and more effectively? And would that make us deviate from so-called best practices, which were laid down, not keeping in mind what the today's day and age is in the way the IT and business and other parts of our value chain move? So you got so many variables. So how do you choose a path? What is that balance that you create, or do you go one direction versus the other? Is it the best practices approach, or break all rules and just go totally crazy?
Yeah, the answer probably depends on the company culture and a number of different factors. But to start off with the question in the middle around best practices, you know, a lot of the best practices implementations are not necessarily, well, this is going to sound silly, but they're not necessarily about implementing best practices, but they're mostly around implementing standard practices, standardized practices in your company. So as a company, under the, well, especially under the current economic circumstances, you are forced to commoditize almost certain functional processes, like in finance, your procure to pay, order to cash, those type of processes, some of the HR processes, and so on. As you standardize them and support them with standard tooling, have better insight, you know, are able to measure process KPIs, those type of things, you really get a firm handle of what's going on. You can consider how to staff it, how to source it, maybe even outsource it. And you kind of create a best practice, which may be kind of the best practice, but it's certainly the best practice within your company at that time. So in that, with that as the backdrop, and there's a lot of processes and parts of processes where you can take that approach, with that in mind, new is not always better per definition, of course, but new does kind of help you create a kind of a change mindset. But of course, there's very good examples where new adds capability, where new adds top-line dollars, which, of course, are great examples, but just changing for changing sake obviously doesn't make any sense.
Now, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, let's explore the idea that is IT and business trying to become more of a thrill seeker or to become sustainable as an enterprise? So are we moving from a conservative organization, which could perhaps also be labeled as a bean counter in terms of its leadership and how we do things, to an investor which is going to continually find some play money and put it in unknown areas, uncharted territories, and they will tread the paths which have never been treaded before? Is that what's becoming the mindset of the organizations in general, or is it again a small percentage which is following this, and that's what is causing the uproar and all the media and the news? So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Take control of e-discovery with flexible integrated solutions designed for early data assessment, processing, document review, and litigation presentation. LexisNexis offers comprehensive solutions that work together as well as with other industry-leading tools to help you maintain a seamless chain of custody throughout discovery. Most of these solutions can be offered in a hosted environment with access to fully customizable support resources dedicated to your success.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. You are listening to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjog All. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That number again is 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to the show. Here's Sunjog All.
All right, welcome back. So, Peter, let's start with you. Talk about Bain Counter and or investor, where you are trying to go into the new year, trying to be an investor, ready to pull out some play money, and you get the blessings from the top as well. And is that what is going to be the DNA of most organizations, or is it a select few that you see who are doing this?
Yeah, I think increasingly, the role of IT has obviously changed. There's been a lot of discussion and publication around it. But as IT becomes more and more integral part of virtually any process, you find that you need to partner with all the functional and business leaders to get things done. And increasingly, of course, they have to partner with you. But first of all, you know, being an investor within the company is part about trust. And trust, of course, has everything to do with behaviors and with relationships. So I find myself almost full-time engaging with other functional leaders, with business leaders, with country leaders, to make sure that we understand what they need and how we support them. And part of the transparency that I try to create around projects and budgets, quite frankly, is to make sure that we all understand what the cost is of running the current infrastructures and system, how we squeeze money out of that on an ongoing basis, year over year, and then how, of course, we decide for new projects, and take the impact on IT explicitly. So you create this, the trust, you create the transparency to help you understand, but you do need a little bit of, play money, as Vittorio also already alluded to kind of be able to invest in. If you fail, you fail cheap and fast. I like that. I like the way you said that. Again, more of an integral part of the company and making sure you build the right IT for your company than being out there and trying to be the innovator kind of in your ivory tower.
So, Vittorio, if you were to look at the organization as at the leadership level, yes, you could be doing things, a lot of things in the ivory tower and make such decisions. How does that impact your workers? How are they thinking? Did they want suddenly their life change to somebody who's going to be moving at 100 miles an hour and be doing 20 things in a given day and then show success, because they would look at their jobs, they would look at their work-life balance and many other things which the business and also business leaders may not be able to every time relate with?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that one of the key essential roles of the leader is to engage with coworkers, engage with business peers, engage with the teams. Right? So nothing should come across as a surprise. Right? There should be, the leader should welcome any question, constructive criticism, and especially when it's about strategic direction, right? Because without those, there is no real opportunity for conversation, and only when you have the conversation, you can ensure that the whole organization will buy into the strategy and stand behind it and then execute. In terms of, you mentioned something about how the skills and how the profile of the IT professional are changing, and I think are evolving more than changing. We need to develop new skills and embrace new ways of working in this area of delivering fast, delivering agile, as I said, and leveraging areas that are not based on prescribed business processes or standardization. So the good news is that any IT professional is comfortable with change, mostly. So it's the area where we see us as project leader embracing business change, embracing change. And I, on a people point of view, I see kind of an increasing need for the business-facing role to couple the traditional customer service skills, which are known and we have built our reputation on, with a more entrepreneurial kind of challenger profile. So identifying, driving opportunities on top of reacting very well to demand. So that's one challenge. And then on the other side of the IT organization, on the capability side, we need more architects. So to really map the application of the future in an holistic way. And then obviously there is a culture aspect that is related to taking more risk, because we have built our reputation, as I said, in being excellent in services, right? And when you are successful, you develop inevitably a kind of a culture of perfection. As an example, we measure the number of the amount of project we deliver every year as one of our key metrics, affecting our pay too. So when you get to a point where 96% of our projects are being delivered on time and on budget, you know, it becomes kind of counterintuitive to take risk and accept that you will run an activity and you may discover that 6 weeks later is not going to turn in the benefits that we expected. So I think we need to continue to strive for perfection in areas such as ERP deployment, email services, but at the same time be able to use a different set of muscles and accept more risk in smaller and more dynamic initiatives.
So, Peter, where do you think with respect to your IT workforce, whether it is the quantity, the quality, and or the cost, where do you think you are lesser or higher in terms of what you think is a good even ground with respect to the workers, their morale, their capability set, the number of people you can deploy to get the job done, given what you're planning for in 2013?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think Vittorio made a good point about engagement, and actually we measure engagement annually, and we do follow up on the measurements and the comments, because at the end of the day, you know, it's all about people, and you know, that's going to be tremendously powerful. All in all, you do see a shift in the type of people that you need, obviously. You know, we are more and more into business processes, the value of information, more into architecture. So I see less purely operational people. You know, we outsource all of that, of course, to our strategic partners, and more people that are good, really good in security, really good in enterprise architecture, really good in managing those external partners, so service delivery managers, and then people that have good process knowledge. And so in the last category, I also see a very good exchange between people in other functions and the IT function. So I have a few people on my senior IT team that really came from or have spent time in other functions, so that there's a good understanding of what they try to accomplish. In fact, in one of our business units, the leading IT manager of that entire business unit used to run a plant, a manufacturing facility, until last year. So those are the type of people that increasingly get into the IM function, our IT function, are needed in the IT function. And of course, they don't only have a huge credibility outside the IT function, but they also know how to build the bridge between what we try to accomplish as a company and how IT optimally supports that.
Now, with what you just said, Vittorio, do you think we would really get super lucky where all the people that we have would actually transform to the new way of thinking or the new way of working? Or if you are left with folks who still are not exactly trapped, but basically it's their DNA and they may not change completely, what do you think you would do for them to buy into your 2013 agenda? And secondly, provide them some steps which will allow them to at least be more or incrementally more helpful in meeting that agenda, who especially are not the ones who are self-driven and or are the ones who totally fit the new mold?
Well, I think it's our role and our duty as leaders is to prepare the journey for all our teams, our people, to move up in terms of skills. And I would say in terms of technology, I see very few IT professionals that are not comfortable with the evolution of technology. And anybody who has been around, even for the last 5 or 10 years, how many changes we saw in the nature of IT. It's more, I'd say, the culture. And I mentioned before, one of the big hurdles is looking at our role as responsive to demand, as opposed to sitting in the driver's seat and drive innovation and challenge our business counterparts to do things. So overall, a couple of things. So one is to lay down what are the both functional but also leadership skills that we need, and make clear as part of our people development process where are the strength and what are the development opportunities. And that's an important conversation. And the layer of management, all the layer of management are important to have those conversations and help people making it through the journey. So I think the challenge more is than the functional competency is more on the leadership competency and trying to find a profile for the CIO of the future that are not only very solid IT professional and understanding technology, but are collaborative, so they can work closely with team, peers, other business functions, customers, IT vendors, basically to go after solutions that are mutually beneficial, that are influential, so having the capability, if you want, to influence effectively stakeholders as opposed to dictate solutions, and most of all, having an entrepreneurial spirit, so managing a strategic portfolio and being in the position to take the right bets, right, and measure risk with new initiatives. And overall, leaders that care about the people and the development. So I do believe that there is the core capability of an IT enterprise organization sit in the end, as Peter said, with the people. And a big chunk of my role has to do with helping to develop talent, which is, by the way, the biggest challenge most of all face getting in 2013 because of the high demand of talent and the scarcity of the market. So you have to develop your talent internally too.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. When we come back, Peter, how about looking at the very agenda process or the fact that you have to build an agenda in the beginning of the year? Yes, gone are the days when we used to plan for 2 to 3 years, be a marathon runner. Here, now we have to become a sprinter, think about 2 to 3 months ahead, and things change. A new technology comes, a new paradigm comes, so something new changes in the industry business process. So do you think you could truly have an annual agenda? And if yes, how do you split it so that you are not really trying to create something which is going to be obsolete halfway down? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Take control of e-discovery with flexible integrated solutions designed for early data assessment, processing, document review, and litigation presentation. LexisNexis offers comprehensive solutions that work together as well as with other industry-leading tools to help you maintain a seamless chain of custody throughout discovery. Most of these solutions can be offered in a hosted environment with access to fully customizable support resources dedicated to your success.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjog All. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That number again is 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to the show. Here's Sunjog All.
All right. So, Peter, we look at the agenda every year in the beginning, and then there are things which change, whether it's technology, the priorities, the very mindset of the industry or the value chain. What's the point in even building an agenda?
Well, the agenda building process actually already begins with the budgeting, which for most companies it's in summer or in the third quarter. We create, the clue of the whole story for me is in engaging with functions, engaging with the different business units and making 3-year plans. So we have a roadmap, we have operating plans for the next 3 years. And within those, of course, we build 1-year plans, because it just, feels intuitively right to do so. But we really update those 3-year plans much more frequently than only once a year. We update them typically quarterly. We have discussions with the functions, with the business units, even with the country organizations to understand what they need, what they try to accomplish, so we can adjust those plans accordingly. So the 1-year plans for me are more of a snapshot of a bigger picture rather than a goal in themselves. And that, quite frankly, works well, even though it is kind of helpful to have those plans so you can step back and see whether the mix is right, whether you have some innovation in there, whether you accomplish your own IT goals as well. You know, there's a couple of things, of course, which are initiated by the IT function itself. But all in all, engagement is the solution for me.
So, Vittorio, do you think you're bringing new hope is primarily one of the ways to put in the agenda so that everybody's charged up and then we show them some direction versus saying we'll do the same old, same old?
Well, I think it's an ongoing conversation. It's not just an annual one. And it's undeniable that in this global dynamic business environment, business priority change a lot and evolve pretty quickly. However, you know, on the other end, the overall purpose of the business and the value should not, right? And personally, I consider myself very lucky to work with a very successful family company like Mars, which does not just look at the short-term performance, but also makes long-term choices in line with their values. So while we need to be agile and make things happen always faster, while we go to a much shorter cycle than annual in looking at our activity, the basic assumption behind our strategy do not change. So we do believe in service excellence. We believe on the value of engaged IT employees, partnering closely with our peers. And so you set those direction, and what you do, you have ongoing conversations. And at the same time, you place your bets on the structural foundation that will allow you to be more agile. Because one of the things that we need to do is to build the architecture for the future. We have been, for many years, as I said, looking after the enabler for shared service for best practice in transactional system. Now, if we want to allow a solution that cope with less prescriptive processes, we need to look at things that architecturally will allow this component to be built and put together in weeks as opposed to months. So I think it's an ongoing conversation, as I said, and the strategy goes well beyond the year. And any kind of statement that's saying in next year will change everything resonates a bit empty, I think, to both to stakeholders and employees if there is not a continuity of values over time.
So, Peter, how are you cashing into your, like, IT's role, if you will, from just being an enabler and a cost to cost of doing business, where it is imperative to have IT's involvement from the very get-go when strategies are built, and also in some cases allow it to lead in or drive innovation or whatever process improvement and or value creation that happens in a business? So what has that mindset change in the business done for you, and how are you essentially being an opportunist to actually grab that particular limelight and make the most of it, and in fact, as using it to create even more value for the business?
Yeah, thanks. I don't necessarily like the term cashing in because it sounds like you're trying to build a kingdom and try to establish the IT function as a goal in itself. But I think in the last part of your question, you tweaked it appropriately to make sure that it really adds the most value to the company. So how to, you know, for me, it is the question on how to find the best IT for my company. And I already mentioned that creating transparency is very, very important. Getting the people to understand how we transact our processes and what we do is essential. I mean, obviously, in IT, we're uniquely positioned to stick our nose into every single process and to help the functions and the businesses and the countries understand how we actually perform our business, our processes, you know, what the process KPIs are, and to help kind of find the opportunities to improve. So, again, deeper engagement, really having the conversation, and making sure that in that conversation we identify the opportunities. It's never alone.
Now, Vittorio, if you were to look at your business, are you trying to do anything differently given what 2013 brings for you? Or is it basically refining your leadership skills, getting people get more acclimated to the new, faster, more agile way of thinking? Is there something which is disruptively different or any creative destruction that you're doing which breaks all previous molds and creating a brand new blue ocean for your people and your company?
I'm not sure I would define it like a blue ocean, but for sure we see a shift in demand. And as I said before, the demand over the past few years was around standardization and efficiency. And now the demand is on top of delivering efficiencies and running our operation effectively at the right price point, also add value, especially in area like marketing and demand and sales. So in those areas, if you think about it, most of the time we don't have a solution that we can build on a global template and deploy around the world, like we did for some of the processes like order to cash by leveraging ERP, supply chain planning. In those areas, we need to be much more reactive, and basically is leveraging the technology we have at hand today, like analytics, to understand, to get the insights and understand what's going on in a very dynamic environment, and collaboration, because you get those insights and you make them available across the company, across the teams, whether it's marketing, logistics, whether it's finance. And then at the same time, make sure that all that cycle of getting in the insights and collaborating happens anywhere at any time by leveraging mobility. So it's the perfect combination of components that can be assembled and need to be assembled very close to the user, very close to where the business opportunity is, as opposed to be templatized in a kind of a global shared service model. So that's something that we have been preparing for, and we saw in our radar screen early on. We started having discussion about it a couple of years ago, and then we have now the first examples of that in action, where we see in parallel to foundational investment, like still deploying ERP in some emerging markets in the world, we have quite a few initiatives that have to do with providing those dynamic capabilities.
Now, what about, Peter, this is for you. What are the technology providers doing? Do you think their mindsets are changing besides, of course, they're trying to come up with better, more feature-rich or more cloud-based technologies and other things that would help you technically? But is the mindset changing among the technology solution provider community so that when you are trying to be innovative and you are trying to create even more value, they are not just looking at dollars in your eyes, but instead they are saying, I want to stand beside you. What do you see as a type of flavors of solution providers and services available out there? What is the mindset?
Yeah, it's a good question, because if I think back at about 2012 and try to reminisce on what I would have liked to do better, one of the things that I think could have been better is how to get the best out of our main partners. We outsource quite a bit. We have pretty good projects where we lean or leverage some of our key strategic partners. They have enormous knowledge. They see, you know, a lot of different companies. So there must be knowledge and opportunity there for us as well. I don't really see that being easily brought to our accounts. Of course, in outsourcing agreements nowadays, it is very usual to have benchmarking and innovation type of clauses. Typically, they're mostly financially oriented, you know, maybe FTE oriented, but financially oriented. So you expect year-over-year savings, a couple of percent, or year-over-year benchmarking if it's more infrastructure or infrastructure management type of things. What I don't really see or feel coming out of our providers just naturally or themselves is innovation, true innovation. And of course, it's understandable as well. Sometimes it really kind of cuts in their own flesh in a way that they really kind of diminish their own revenue potential with some of those innovations. But of course, in the long way, the only sustainable engagement is one where you do trust each other, you do find ways to make each other better, to really make it a win-win, because, you know, a win-lose will always turn into a lose-lose.
Now, what are the signs, Peter? This is interesting. You mentioned this. So what are the signs you would have seen, or would you have liked to see for you to feel otherwise. That is, they are innovating, they are ahead of the curve, and they are not just kind of taking and building either a better mousetrap or repackaging the old stuff and saying this is new.
Yeah, it's really to have a wow experience, right? To be surprised. So to go, you know, to engage with the vendors and say, hey, did you think about this? Or hey, what if we do this? Or hey, can we jointly try something? Those surprises, the trying something new, trying something that's not a product, trying something that's not out there yet, or that's you know, at least an innovative combination of existing things. You know, those type of surprises, kind of the wow experience, I call it. That's something that just would be delightful.
Sanjo, let me add my point of view here to this topic, and I believe it's fundamental to have the right partnerships with vendors these days to succeed. And number one is to set expectation with a mutual agenda, and which requires commitment from both sides. So it's not something that you do with all vendors. And the first thing that we did is to kind of a segmentation where we say we have very valid partners, valid vendors that provide value, but more in the commodity space. And then we have a few that we would classify as our strategic vendors. And with those, we sit together and we want them to become intimate with what our business needs and what are our business goals. And that's the first step. They need to be on board and understanding the customer. And I see a trend with the major vendors and many efforts to achieve that level of intimacy with the customer. Once you get them around the table, then is to plot together the strategy roadmap. And the interesting challenge these days is that while in the past you could have a strategic roadmap with each single vendor, for some of the solutions that we need to provide today, you need two or more to sit with you to define what is the architecture of the future, what is the strategic roadmap of the future, the innovation you need to achieve the business goal. And that is an interesting situation, because as you may imagine, if it's demanding to align the business agenda with a vendor agenda, aligning the agenda of many partners around the table is kind of challenging. But I believe it's what the future is going to be. So as we're getting closer, more and more intimate with the core goals of our business, then we ask the vendors to become more intimate with that too, and, you know, plot the future together.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll come back and perhaps continue this conversation around making your partners more effective. Now, no one, when they do any business or come to work, think that they will do anything which is less than stellar. So there may be certain things when we talk about engagement of our employees. How about provider engagement, where they are saying, I'm going to not only put my skin in the game, but literally an arm and a leg, so that they are truly deep in with you. So if you want to grow, they will do whatever it takes to make you grow in that process. They are all part of revenue that they can get out of you as a customer could grow. But how can you make that happen while you're leading your troops to make the best out of them? How do you lead a set of partners to get the most out of them? We'll explore that a little more when we come back. Please stay tuned.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Take control of e-discovery with flexible integrated solutions designed for early data assessment, processing, document review, and litigation presentation. LexisNexis offers comprehensive solutions that work together as well as with other industry-leading tools to help you maintain a seamless chain of custody throughout discovery. Most of these solutions can be offered in a hosted environment with access to fully customizable support resources dedicated to your success.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network. You are listening to CIO Talk Radio with Sanjog All. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That number again is 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to the show. Here's Sanjog All.
Welcome back. So the question that we had posed was about providers, how are well they doing? And then we are seeing that they may be able to do more innovation and participate a little more closely in how we create value. If it is not being seen, we heard from both guests about what we can do in terms of partnering. Now, if these people have all the intention, but if they are not able to do, perhaps this could be something we can look at our end as leaders and say, perhaps I'd do something differently with these providers like I do with my people to develop talent. Perhaps we can also develop partners to a level where they will not just look at you as a dollar source, but also a sustained growth and profitability for times to come. So, Peter, if I were to have you take a look at this a little differently and say, I'm going to wear my leadership hat and become a parent to this provider or a partner, how would you have treated them differently in order to make them do what you want them to do?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, here too, trust is a main factor, and there needs to be a cultural fit between our teams and our company, and the people and the company on the other end. We do, and I think we all do, have some money available set aside to do nice things. So, the funding, if the proposition is compelling enough, the funding should not be an issue. To try something new and to also reward something that is really proving itself should also not be an issue. If that's an issue, that would be a lack of leadership. So there's really no other golden bullet than just to try it and do it and maybe try it small. And as Vittorio said earlier as well, make sure that you define some milestones early on. So that if you fail, that's okay, but fail quickly more than anything else and try something else. So I think if you really invest the time to brainstorm and engage with your external partner and have the right people there, then there must be a list of good ideas that are worthwhile looking into.
Vittorio, if you were to appeal to the ecosystem around you, you being you're the person in limelight who is trying to lead IT and perhaps to some degree business to the next level of growth and profitability, what do you want from the rest of them so that when those resources and that attention and that mindset is made available to you, then you can do wonders? What is it that you see available? Perhaps what is that, more importantly, what is it that you see missing from the folks around you? May it be your folks who are reporting to you, the people who you influence, maybe business users or the executive management or your counterparts in other business as business unit leaders.
Yeah, this is a pretty wide question. I think in terms of, let's talk about the vendors first. In terms of the vendors, what I look for is mutual commitment and investing into the relationship for the long term. And as I said, it's not something that you can do with all vendors. There are many of them that we are extremely happy with. They provide good price point, but they are more kind of commodity providers for us, while there are a few that we want to invest for the long-term strategic relationship. And they need, as I said, to understand our business, to understand what are the values that we try to put forward, we aim to put forward, and therefore defining and investing into a long-term relationship. In terms of the business partners, I don't think I have to ask. I think it's a great time right now, an exciting time to work in IT because there is a lot of demand. There are many opportunities where IT can help make the difference and help business grow and innovate. And on the other end, there are high expectations from our business partners to sit at the table and have the conversation. So what I ask my peers, what I ask our teams is to be ready to have that conversation and to get really intimate with their business counterparts and drive the agenda as expecting to limit themselves to provide excellent services. So I guess it's really be there and play ball when is when the opportunity comes up, and you know, being credible, obviously, because you have trust, you are listening because you are trusted, and this trust has been built on many years of a reputation of being excellent at providing services, and that should stay. That's the foundation. You cannot sit at the table and while email and have a strategic long-term conversation when email is not working, right? So that is foundation and needs to stay, while at the same time, you know, you drive and look at the new opportunities. And there are so many today that our business peers are so excited to talk about. You know, I can't see how we cannot add value.
Peter, one last question. What do you think, if you were to do your self-appraisal and be critical of it, but at the same time also see opportunities for growth, what do you think you would say to yourself that I should do differently or better in order to meet the newer demands, which may be different in scale and scope, and in variety that will be placed on you, and then how people are looking at you differently now versus last year or the versus year before to make sure that the end goal is achieved, which is creation of business value? What would you change in your leadership style? What would you change in anything that you do in a short or long term?
Yeah. Well, I mean, any leadership style, of course, has to be authentic, and that's different for everybody. So, you know, you really have to find your own way. But there's a couple of things that we mentioned in the course of this conversation already that kind of jump out for me. You know, the most important one is to be an engaging leader, engaging to my own function, making sure that I groom and grow the talents, collect the talents that we have the right people with the right skills. It goes without saying, but it is, at the end of the day, the most important thing that there is, probably. But also engaging with the other functions. And the engagement, but also the knowledge of business processes, and expanding that, you know, those two things, not only within the company, but to the wider ecosystem, so to the wider group of partners that we have, I think as a CIO, is one of the best things that I can do, and probably the same applies to a lot of other people as well.
All right. So thank you so much for taking the time, Peter and Vittorio, to share what's on your mind and what's the agenda for 2013 and how are you going to make a difference and even create more value for the business.
My pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much again. And listeners, please like us on Facebook in search for CIO Talk Radio and be sure to follow us on Twitter and provide your comments. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog, all your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sunjal Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by Citrix, offering GoToAssist, remote support made easy.
CIO Talk Radio was brought to you by LexisNexis Litigation Solutions.